And the first session's always awkward because of getting to know each other and what to say, what not to say. Then the ball begins to get rolling after that. I've been able to spend my about 3 months up in my room with at least I've had my typewriter, which is just a bad little bad of my writing, but at least it does type. I've been able to dig in for a few things which I've kind of run away from for a long time. So I love to get around while I can. And so I've been doing some of that. I had a good go on Romans 6 to 8. I've a long time watched it really get Paul say what we say. People might listen then. So I've been getting Paul to do it. And that's in Fred's hands now, and we'll go and get it out, and I hope to get it to all my fellow in the mission I belong to, fellow workers, about 1,000 of them, get it round to them. And other things, the whole point of the Bible to me is to see the Holy Spirit getting through the people, using the Bible for me to getting people to be people. It's not to get people to be people. And the Holy Spirit's done it through the ages, through the written word. So I found great profit, great many years in seeing the Holy Spirit getting into men and expressing himself by men through the ages, right up from Genesis upwards. And I've done a good deal of those in due course, and Julie has some of them already, but I was able to revise them a good deal. So I spent quite a long time on Job and Joseph and Jacob. Jacob's always my favorite because everybody maligns him. The only person who likes Jacob is God and me. So we enjoy Jacob very much. And I like to see God using the people he shouldn't use. It's great fun. And others, Moses, Elijah, Elisha. I've had great, naturally, great benefit doing those. And Marion Sandbeck up in Louisville, they're kindly retyping them and they've come through in due course. I've done Hebrews too. You did Hebrews here a time ago. I had a good time on Hebrews. Pretty rich Hebrews, isn't it? So a great time on Hebrews. And it costs something. Because you can't lightly write, you know. You can say, and people forget what you say. When you write, you're caught. I learned that was one of the first books I ever wrote, Touching the Invisible, which I wrote 50 years ago. Now I found some things I said there, they need a little more careful saying in writing. So I learned my lesson then. So it's a different thing to write than it is to talk. Because like the Congress, you can always forget what you talk. You can't forget what you write. And so it's a good, tough job to write and be sure what you're saying as far as you see is God saying it. So I've done some of that. And I want to go and do some more. So there we are. The point is what's best to talk about on our first session. I've never had my prepared sermons. I can't give you 5 points. Get rid of it that way. I can only give what we've got, that's all. So I'm only saying what will be put in different forms, of course, through the weekend. And what we're saying is, why are we saying something unique? What is the uniqueness? and why are we in a position that... It's very rarely said or written, very rarely. So it's a big thing to say things unique. So if I'm saying what I'm saying it now, I hope it's what the scripture says. And then it is the same kind of thing as how you are going to come and say on these other sessions. You're in for confrontation. Of course, the joke is already most of us are co-confronters. We're already with the old bunch together. So I'm only reminding you as old bunches what the old bunch says. Only a few of you here, I think, as those have not been before. But it is unique. See, why the Jews fight Jesus isn't because he's just Jesus. It's because he shakes their whole basis of life up. The whole Judaism goes down the drain. Judaism went on the course. And so it shakes the very being. So a Jew doesn't refuse Jesus just because Jesus was or wasn't in history. It's because if you believe him, you're in the trouble as a Jew. You're in the explosion. That's Muslims. That's why Muslims can't take Jesus instead of Muhammad. So it isn't just taking historic Jesus in a sort of say, they claim to believe in a historic Jesus. But he blows up the whole Mohammedism. Because everything is blown up if you go to Jesus, you take Jesus and his way of being is, that's all. So it's explosion. And we are in that same explosion in the Church of Christ today. I have no evidence that I can give, there's any sign of the Church of Christ on any level taking it as four members of the Church of Christ, as groups of the Church of Christ. I don't know them. When the final issues come down, whether one might take it, it explodes everything. It explodes your relationships, it explodes your cooperation, everything. So it's a very rare thing for a group or a person who represents a group to be to them what it is to us. Why is it unique? Because the purpose of God's eternity is to have completed selves. That's a big thing to say. Completed selves. Even Jesus had to learn obedience through things he suffered. Jesus, being made perfect, as Jesus himself had been made perfect. That's strong stuff. To make other people so perfect. And he was the standard man, wasn't he? So we have to find the relationship between a perfect deity, who's the only person there is, the perfect person, the perfect persons, who can re-express the perfect person. And the perfection is the problem. So it's to be a perfect person because you're expression of the perfect person. And you can't express yourself, can't express a perfect person unless you know what it is to be an expression of the perfect person. So you've got to be perfect expressor. That's the difficulty, you see. That's the difficulty. So of course we start with some things we all know. Well, there is only one person. I say that kind of thing, you know that. In the beginning, he. In the end, he all in all, so that's all with, you know that. But as him, there's no other. So the universe is he in form of expression, that's obvious. What's a tree? It's a life in a seed. As a life in a seed, you should takes the form of a tree. That's life, of course. It's a deity life in the tree. We know that. So you see, there is only one person. Yet he creates a person to be persons. Now you're into something. The battle rages, kind of rather another reality, that consciousness is only the opposite. There's nothing in, can there be known except the opposite? Light can only be known by dark, sweet by bitter, and so on. I mean, if you take a light, you know, and this has an opposite, and the two together makes light. You utilize its darkness to express its lightness. And heat uses cold to express its heatness. You understand? So universe, of course, that's what the modern-day physicists know. Physicists, the problem of the duality of the atom. Why is it a particle? Why is it a wave? Why is it both? And those two make atoms. They're two opposites. Particles jump and the waves flow. Yeah, the two, they're part of opposites. And those two opposites make the atomic out of all this, of course. Just right, the very sense of being is this. Therefore, that raises a question, and which has an answer, that you can't have a God who hasn't confronted the opposites and put them into focus. That, of course, is why long ago as far as say, why did it say there's something God can't do? Why did it say God can't lie? Can't lie. Not didn't. Can't lie. Because a lie is one of the opposites. The opposite that lie, of course, that's self for self. So you have that problem solved in God. We have to use eternal temporal forms of eternal things. We can't do more the better than that. He's from everlasting to everlasting. But there's a problem that has been solved in him. And the false problem is he's the self. A self must be for himself. He can't be a self otherwise. He must be a self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-operating self. Left to itself, that's a self for self. But mercifully, the heart of the universe is opposites. A thing cannot be known except as opposite. And the opposite was God bringing out into being his own son, and instead of becoming a self for self, it becomes a self for his son, a self for others. Therefore, the heart of God is a cross. That's the value we have in the book of Alan Parker, the cross in the heart of God. So the heart of the person is a death and life. A person who ceases to be one kind of person become another kind of person. Instead of remaining what the Bible calls a fire, a consuming fire, fire becomes light. Fire is consumed, oil becomes light. As a death takes place in the sun, it produces light. When the helium atoms fuse, they become light. Fire and light. Fire consumes, light blesses. Out of the same basis. That's God. So the heart of God is a person of a certain quality who ceased to remain that person of a certain quality. His quality is me for me for me. And it became from eternity in the beginning of the sun, the fire, which was the me for me, becomes the light in self-giving love. And all this being goes into the love of the sun. And so that whole being, that combined being, is other love. They've combined the other love, but that's a cross in it. And without that cross, it couldn't be conscious. You only be conscious of opposites. Well, it's only conscious because it isn't dark. You wouldn't know it otherwise. Sweet's only conscious because it isn't bitter. And all life, you only know conscious because it isn't the other. And then you put the two together and make something. And you cooks make something out of sweet, bitter, make the two together and make something. And we make dark light and produce a light situation, so on. That, of course, is fundamental to our uniqueness because... there are certain ways that have been through history in which people will talk about God, a relationship to God. Did you have a relationship to God? All religions have a relationship to God. But it isn't via a cross. So it's a false relationship. It's building up a God without a cross, and there are humans without a cross. And try to build a thing up without a death in the middle. Yeah, it can't be. So as everything is only two opposites which combine, and one uses the other, as I say, life swallows up death and so on. So that's true of the universe. So it's in the person of the universe. And that is mainly unknown as a fact in the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ may say there's a cross, but they won't understand why there's a cross. Because I'm in God. That's why that's been so, what that article, that pamphlet is so important to us, which came out of the great mystic Jacob Burma. The cross in the heart of God. Of course, it doesn't start with us, it starts with the person. The other person, only the kind of person he is now, the self-fixed, self-giving person, because of the death of being a self-loving person. That's the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Spirit reproduces. That's the being, that's the person. That's not known in the Church of Christ. Even though they were evangelical church who preach a cross, they mean our cross. They mean the cross Christ died for us. They don't mean the cross in which God died. That's the missing spot. That's the beginning of the uniqueness. That's for a long time I've said that. I read Jacob Burman, and I used that scripture I told you. God cannot lie. God, something God can't be. There you've got it. So why? How can't he lie? Why doesn't he lie? I told you. Because a lie, of course, is a quality of self for self. If something happened to God, he can't be self for self. He must be self for others. How? Why? How does a self for self become a self for others? As a death there. A replacement. A death to being one quality of self, fire, and becoming another quality of self, light. And fire produces light. Father, Son. So even there we start our uniqueness. But of course that's so far away from us that we can put that away and say it's God. But it's us. Us is us. God has brought person to being beside his own person. That's the great leap of the creation. He's brought persons into being like himself in their makeup. In their makeup. Spirit, soul, body, makeup. Quantity, makeup. We're made in his image. Which, of course, means that therefore he's got something by which he can reproduce himself. Everything he shows forth his glory. You can't see God's the tree, you see his glory the tree. You see his glory the light. Everything I live in worship because I've always seen the glory in everything. Springtime's marvellous, marvellous. But you don't mistake the outbirth of the green around us now as God. It's an expression of God. You don't mistake God for the leaf. But you do mistake God for a person, because God, that's a different thing. That's the leap in the creation. Everything else is God in a form. In making a person, it's God as a person. So you see, it's enormously serious. If the creation of persons is to reproduce the person, it's enormously serious. Because it's the very heart of being. God can find a means of re-expressing himself by person. He can re-express his very... by all of his glory and all that science and physics and power and glory, impersonal. And that's all the poor scientists can get. They can hammer out impersonal, 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 personal. If life isn't impersonal, as forms. That's a person. And a person only expresses it as a person by persons, not by impersonals. That's the difference. But now then, because of things, only know about the opposite. You've got to meet the opposite in the person. As I say, light only know because there's dark. And sweet only know because there's bitter. So everything has its, and as I say, the atom is both a particle and a wave. They're opposites. And you have to fit them together and make entities out of it. So everything must have its opposite. So a person has its opposite. So God has its opposite. And that's what the course is. All right. Now, the other great danger, first danger is we don't recognize the basic nature of God, which has a cross in it. A fire which will become a light is God. There is the Bible terms. A fire which consumes will become a light which blesses. And in between the death. That's God. That's God. That's why God's a Trinity. Therefore, of course, man, if man's a person, must be the same, must go through the same process. Now, here comes the other problem which we know, which is equally our weakness, is equally our uniqueness, is that there is only one person. There is only one person. And that person re-expresses himself in forms. Forms are trees and whatnot. Or expresses himself as a person by a person. There's only one person. Only one person. A person who can express himself on a lower level by atomic power or color or things, and you see his glory. He expresses himself as a person by a person. There's only one person. So the person can't become the person. Now that's where we move into our other uniqueness. Because God died to being one kind of person, to become the other kind of person. He died to being a fire, self for self, burning. And in the begetting of his son becomes a light which is self-giving. So we all start a fire. That's the basis being. Everything's fire. Paschal fire, not long ago, shouted, fire, fire, fire. Everything's fire. Different forms of fire. We know that. That's why there's this electrical power going about somewhere all over the place. Fire, fire. Now, electricity is light. Fire. Fire. That's now in God's sense, that's a self person. We all thought that way. Now the the way we have to learn who we are, settle in who we are, is by a delusion and a deliverance from it. By a delusion and a deliverance from it. The delusion is that you can be a person that isn't God person. That's what Satan was. Satan's a former God. He's a fire former God. But he remained a person, he remained a fire person, which is a God person in fire form. He was a God, he's a negative God, a God person in fire form. But there's no such thing as a person except God. So God, Satan's only personhood is God's personhood in its wrong form, fire form, to which God has died. So God has a cross in him. Satan wouldn't have a cross. That's what this world is, trying to build up a religion without a cross. Same thing. Now this is the way in which God had to teach us our basic negative to have a basic positive. We've got to know. Our basic negative is to know who we are as a negative and then who we are as a positive. Now, see, Satan has deluded himself in his negative. It's all positive. Positive negative is God. Fire is the negative. Light is the positive. But God's fire is swallowed up in his light. So he's all love. Satan is the same fire, not swallowed up, but remains fire, self for self. But the lie is that the person, that an intelligent person, he's made it as if it's himself. That's his lie. As if he's a separate person, there's no such thing. He's just a negative form, a fire form of God, which God never has been, because God's had his eternal death in him. Now, see, we have to learn what a self is and how it functions. Whereas Satan failed to learn, God learned it. God learned it by having a son. God learned it. Jesus had to learn obedience to be something. He had to learn by dying to be a fire God and becoming a light God in his son. Now, Satan wouldn't do that, so he made himself a fire form and thinks he's therefore himself just a fire form. He doesn't say he's a fire form, but God just lies if he's just self, fire form, just a self. Now, we have to learn the same way. So we have to learn that we have the magnificent potential of being eternal re-expressions of God, perfectly natural. Perfectly natural re-expression of God. And one day we operate as God. That's why God says, you silly people, if you have, even have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you do move mountains. We don't move, we don't move a straw, that's the mountain. And that's only grain. A grown tree of faith will move a universe. That's what we're going to be. People move like God moves. When we're begun, we begin by little grain stuff. A little bit of faith. Jesus said it's only a grain level, but even that does a thing or two. It does a thing or two. So we're an enormous people. But you see, we have to learn who we are as a person. By finding out a person is only a re-expression of the deity person and nothing else. But if we re-expression of the false form of deity person or the right form of deity person. The false form of deity person is Satan, who acts as though he's only a negative form of God. That's why it's called a God in this world. And in order we may learn who we are, we have to be caught up by that delusion. So we know we accept Satan at the fall, but we think he's made us something. He made us operate, but that's a lie. He's made us what he thinks he is, a negative, the operating person. He isn't. He's operating God's fire nature. Self for self's nature. Self-destructive nature. That's God's fire nature, that's hell. And the Satan thinking he runs, that's himself, put that into us, we think it's ourselves. So we don't know it's Satan as us. We think if Satan influenced us and impregnated us, and we're just sort of ourselves, sort of doing Satan, sort of ourselves as a person, influenced by Satan. There's no such thing as a self. There's only one self in the universe. There's only one operating self in the universe. All other selves are expressions of the self. Like a tree is an expression of God's life form, and only a form there. It isn't itself an expression of a life form. Atomic powers, they now know atomic power comes from the mind, expression of the inner mind, exactly. It's a form of a mind, a form. Everything is that. And a person can only be expressed by expression of God's person. That's tremendous. But God's person is a person who has a cross in it. Now God's person has died to be one kind of person, but become another kind of person in Jesus Christ. Now Satan has picked up that one kind of person, a hellish person, fire, and in his delusion he thinks it himself, thinks independent, and put that into us makes us think we are independent. Now this is the point. And we've built up community, we've built our churches and our societies, and the whole way goes when this goes. Because your way is relating yourself to a society which possesses Christ. So you're in the prayer meetings, in the work, good, and all that. You're part of a society expressing Christ. But it's a means expressing Christ. In the old days, it's a means expressing Satan, and you got out of that one anyhow. And you come to Jesus and got saved. Now it's a means expressing Christ. All you have is that. This is a desperate death. You doubt your church, you doubt your pastor, you doubt your people. And hardly any pastor would take this because he can destroy his congregation. His congregation won't take it. They built on, come on Sunday and pray more and do word. It's me and Christ. It is Christ. It's me and Christ. It's Christ expressed as me. I've got a self-preserving me as well as preserving Christ. That's, unless my church is built on that, and churches are built on that, it destroys churches. As I said, Jesus didn't just destroy law, he destroyed Judaism. Destroyed the whole system of the priests and the sacrifices. That's the whole being he destroyed. No wonder they crucified him. It wasn't just a question of a few laws. The whole Judaistic being within even now. Nothing is more tragic than the Holocaust. Why the Holocaust tragic? Because nobody went crazy. Holocaust is so tragic as they burn. It's good to burn, but they didn't know they burned for Jesus. He didn't know it. Let them burn us, we burn for Jesus and praise God. We have a great Holocaust. Where it goes, the gas gave him praising. Jews couldn't do it, poor things. They don't know Jesus. They went crying. Dark, dark, dark. So we say, pity them. You shouldn't have to pity them. If they knew Jesus, praise them, be burned for Jesus, isn't it? Then what are they pitying for? They don't know Jesus. You've got the whole Jewish race don't know Jesus. Shown up, not one. I don't know one person went praising to Gethsemane. But we would. We'd go praising to Gethsemane. We say, oh, it's great to get a chance to die for Jesus. They don't know that. Because, you see, they're holding the system. And that's why they won't take Jesus. It blows their system up. They cease to be a respectable Jew. Not just to see Jesus. Or respectable Muslims. It blows them out. No wonder the Muslims burn us, kill us. It destroys Mohammedanism. It doesn't just destroy believing in Mohammed. It destroys Mohammedanism. Jesus is radical. And destroys your church life. That's your problem. Even if you remain in the church, you know that you're uncomfortable, and they are too, you know it. God bless you if you can remain. Remain if you can, to be a lover. Remain if you can. But you're uncomfortable, and they're uncomfortable. You're not part of them. Pray more, work more, do more. You know it, and the pastor knows it. And so you're an uncomfortable Christian if you've got the ultimate. You die at your church. Don't do that if you help it, because it's, in a sense, it's Christ's church. Say it if you can. Bless them if you can. Bless them. But you have to do it with a hurt on you. I have to eat in my own mission. My own mission goes far farther than most of them. My mission is the Father, the Son, the Son of God. Only hardly any take this. I'm thrown out now. They only need to speak to them. Yet, Lord, let me build the whole thing to be. I'm out. They can't take that it's not a bunch of people serving Jesus. It's Jesus serving himself in our form. They can't take that. They can't die out to be missionaries. They can't do it. I tell you, it's a desperate thing, this. It cuts not just your, it cuts your whole way of being. Then you may repeat, I mean, I love my way, can I remain with them all, they let me. So I love them, and I adore their great stuff there for Jesus. I'm not going to leave them until they finally kick me out altogether, because I'm with them, but I'm with them with a sore heart, because they don't, except for one or two, they don't know. And when I walk through it, they'll never ask me about me. They'll ask me at their big conventions. And I talk to them about Japan, in Japan, or Africa, or Colombia, and love to talk. They'll never say, what about you, they're damned. They have a prayer center going on now. I say, drop your prayer, get to believing. They won't take me. So they get all of they have to pray certain hours of the day. And they've been listed out at our headquarters here, certain people to pray for. Well, four of them are caught. And they've given my name to pray for. For my precious people I know very well, I work with, won't have miracles. But they did send me that these dear four people praying for me. So I wrote back, oh, I said, praise God, I suppose you're praying me out of error, will you? But please tell me what the error is. I said, I suppose you're rigorously praying me out of my error. Please tell me what the error is. Not one answered. They're damned. That's why they won't have me. They damned have me. They get blown up. They damned have me. See how serious it is? My own, and my precious work, I tell you, they can further, any, I know no other mission goes farther than they're sold out for Jesus. They know no salary, no guinea baker stuff, no salary, no nothing. They're giving for Jesus. Sell their lives out in Africa for Jesus. Yet they don't know this. They don't know this. They fight it. It's still they and Jesus. They and, it isn't. It isn't. There's a death. The death that God died, they have to die. The death of Jesus died, including himself, as you might say, for us on Calvary. And so you see, you don't find that until you are desperate about yourself, until you can't make work as a redeemed self now, as a church member, not unsaved, until you're desperate as a redeemed self. It isn't working. What have you just written? Written recently, you know that. You've been saved, you've been spirit-filled, you've had the gifts. It hasn't quite worked there. It hasn't yet quite worked. Something missing. Something missing. You can even have the abiding life and say, Christ abides in you, something missing. Because it's not the abiding Christ, it's the abiding you is the problem. That's the problem. Be able to see this, that you're a beautiful self, so made that you express God, but you're only an expressor. The whole universe is only an expressor. And because you own everything by its negative, you had to have the wrong expressor first to learn it. I had the person who expressed the hellish fire of God and acted as himself Satan. Gets into you, makes you think it's you, it's only Satan. And you have at last to realize all that self suffers Satan as you. And you live in an as, not an in. It wasn't Satan in you, it was Satan as you. Now when there's Satan as you, you will say Christ as you when you look Calvary. And when you know this other operation of Calvary, the body, when it is made sin, made like ours, where sin is humans expressing Satan's sin. And Jesus has made that, not bore our sins, that's blood. His body made sin, so God rejected him. Why has thou forsaken me? He died as made sin, outwent that spirit. At once made death, out goes the spirit for a body. In came his own spirit, that's it. So it's in the body of death, we can say it was Christ, it was Satan as us. Now it's Christ as us, through the body of death of Jesus Christ. So we're back on the cross, and in that cross, you're involved at the bottom. You'll find it, because it'll be your own church put you out. Back on the cross. And in that cross, you're involved at the bottom. You'll find it because it'll be your own church put you out. Say it as you can, but you'll find there'll be discomfort with you. As I say, I'm all my whole being is with my work. I spent 60 years in my work. Out to Africa, I live in these places. Colombia is my life. Africa, and I live in those places. Talk to them, they never ask me. I spent hours talking about Japan and West Africa and this. I'm thoroughly interested. They never dare say, what about you? They know they dare. They know there's something there. We should catch them. But they won't do it. So they live nicely with me and share what I want to hear. I long to hear. I eat up all I can about what is Africa. It's my life. And India and Indonesia and it's my life. But never come back about me. They daren't. Because I'm an outsider. Without the camp, bearing his approach. So I love to be with them, and I'll be with them to the end. Is it while they're happy? And so, and to a point, they do have me. But only on that level, except for just one or two. This is his radical. So the whole thing goes, and Paul said, I don't know man after flesh. No man after flesh. He shoots at church. I don't even know Jesus after flesh. I'm a spirit person, and a spirit person is a person expressing the spirit deity. Your human self is expressing the spirit, the Holy Spirit, an expression of the spirit deity in his nature, and this is you in his life. Now, I won't say any more about that tonight. We're going to discuss that these days. That's what we're talking about. That's why it's unique. We're radicals. And the day hasn't yet come when the whole church will take it. One day, the earth shall be full of glory of the Lord, the water shall come to the sea. That doesn't come to that. There's one on one. There's glory on one. And then ones are rising. They're rising. Because my great thrill is to be like this yet, which I shouldn't be, because it's you folks taking on. Thank God you've taken on now. You've just come from that mighty English conference where I messed about for some years. I never thought you saw. You've got the new generation. It's coming through your generation now. And this conference now will be your generation. But I'm just saying from the old background, shouting from the background to you. That's what it is. And you're the one who's going to live it through now. Live it through. But it's radical, and only when you know it's radically in you transmit radicalness to other people. And actually, it's very simple. It's a marvelous image, exactly like God, but to contain God, not yourself. Those are things to contain yourself. And because the things don't about the opposite, you had to contain the wrong self to start with, Satan's self. It wasn't you, and that was Satan operating you. You've got to find that, and then find the death of death where Satan without Christ within, move in, is Christ as you. And you're but a walking Christ. And you learn to be a simple person as a walking Christ. And your practical daily life is that. I had a lovely travel down from Boston today with my Betty here. They're involved in the printing ministry. It's a thrill to meet me right in it. God doing this, God doing this. That's it. In practical life, seeing God come through finance, God coming through mending machines. This is it. Practical person, God in a person. God's Betty knows it. That's his life. But he's God, it's not Betty. And you've got to know that. That's our answer. And therefore, I know to you mainly reminding, because we're a company, mainly I'm only reminding you what you know. But that's all. When you do know it, the Spirit's like a river in you. It starts like a well in you. It becomes a river. River flows. When you really know it, you can't. Thank God, a lot of us here can't help us. We've got to give it. Our life's got to be involved in getting Christ in as what he is to other people in our different forms. So that's it. We don't usually start our first evening by the heavy stuff, but you asked for it, so you got it. That's all. Thank you. Well, Lord, we're glad that these are your hours and we should be in trouble. It's you. You do the speaking. You give the listening ears. You open the eyes. You do the job. You've done it in us. You go on doing it till the whole world knows. So thank you. And for getting us together this weekend so we can interchange and learn a little more of you from and by each other. Thank you. And bless the people who are preparing for us here and looking after us. Bless them too. Amen. Well, I didn't know or expect that I'd be lumped on you again this morning. I came to be a sideliner. So there we are. I'm half deaf. My teeth fall out. Can't walk very well. Nothing left up here. There we are. I hope it must be the Holy Spirit, that's all. As I have been landed on you this morning, I'd like to dig in again with you and re-examine whether we really do know what we say we know and are who we say we are. Because if we are, it's like a surge on you. It's a passion. God's a passion. That's product is this. And when we're in the God relationship, we're a passion. And you can't stop an Amazon. Rapids and all. So see, am I what I say I am? What is this unique reality we spoke of last night? What is it? So I want to go over it again to as we do so and discuss things this weekend and others talk to the see exactly who we are and what we are. See, Paul said to the very high level saints, the Ephesians were the high level saints, he said, "Your eyes, your understanding may be enlightened." They were the high level people. He said, "I pray that as your understanding may be enlightened, you may know. No top stuff. Seated with him, top stuff. Crucified, risen, seated with him." So see, Paul said that to the top saints, not the beginners, in the Ephesians. So there is that. This is all we have interpreted by the Spirit. In some senses, we aren't a very Bible people. I always like to have a Bible with me, always. The older I get, the more I live in one book, really. It's the only final authority I have as a human. It has to be interpreted, superhuman, by the Holy Spirit. It has to come through the human. Well, I know that I'm an African missionary. And I translated the Bible or the New Testament, half the Old Testament, into the language called Bangala, which is now the language of the whole of Zaire, when I picked it up, it was only a local language. But I remember the thrill of the people, because of course they had teachers read, none of them could read. But when they could read, it's not what you say, it's what the book says. They got something. Oh, I see, it isn't what you white men say, it's what the book says. Because it isn't only the book, it's what the spirit says by the book, but it comes via the book, via the book. So we have to be the people of the book as well as people of the spirit. That's very important for us, because Jesus said it isn't the book in the end, it's the spirit. He said, the words I speak are you, they're spirit and life. Their words have become life, but their first words have become life. They don't come life without being words first. So the two go together. So we're right, we're not book people, we're spirit people. Spirit people are book people at their basis. One of the best letters I got from New England, you people who seed England last month, and was from one of our sharpest, I know her very well, very sharp-minded teacher. I was glad she came, and she weighs things up. I was so glad she wrote to me and said, I liked finding you a scripture-centered people. Now, I hadn't expected her to say that. I noticed how scripture-centered you were. I said, that's good stuff. Because she's the kind of person who'd see, who watch for that and see if she'll just talk, or if she'll got your basis. So we are basis people, but the basis has got to become people. Which is on the basis. And I know we don't do much direct Bible study. I know we don't in that sense. I hope and think we do interpret the Bible. I hope we do. That's in some ways been my drive for years to be sure I'm interpreting this. Well, in a safe cause, I say, well, it says over here. It has to be repeated by me my way. I don't want you like what you say, which says so here. That's our only authority. We are human, and Paul will always say the infirmity of your flesh. Flesh is good stuff, but it's human stuff. It's only bad stuff when it's misused. It's good stuff. God is manifested in the flesh. It must be pretty good if God is manifested in it. So flesh is good stuff, misused, all right to use. But it's human, it's frail. Treasure in earthen vessels. And the infirmity of the flesh means, well, we've got to find out and we may make mistakes and all that stuff. Mistakes aren't sin. We need to talk about that. Not a condemnation lies there, but I don't we get time this morning. But there is the infirmity of the flesh, and this is to build up so we can know what we have got on the flesh level, on the mind level. Like the African, oh, I see now, it says so here. It's, oh, I see, it isn't just what you said. Then it has to come back to what we say. See what I mean? So we are Bible people. And though our tendency is to share, but hopefully, I think we do on the whole share from the Bible. And we go back to the Bible as our final authority. So I'm really running over that again this morning with you, on the Bible basis, to find out whether it's become me. Spirit's me. He's spirit, me, I'm spirit, me. So the Bible becomes me. But it's via the Bible, me. And I asked the question that we raised last night, and which is our fundamental question, because it is the missing question. It is the missing question. And we claim to have the answer. And if we have, the Church of Christ desperately needs us, whether they know it or not. The question is this. We go pretty far in Romans. Now we can go pretty far with us here. I didn't go through Romans 1 to 5 to you, the justification of faith. Thankfully, we all have been that way. That's a very radical way. That's been a word become life to us, of course. Jesus has become a personal Savior to us. We're righteous in His righteousness, the precious blood shed and the resurrection, justified by raised again for our justification. We know that. And the Spirit speaks through the words, the Spirit is the one who's born us again. We confirm it. It's been confirmed to us. Now we go on to what all of us here know. And Paul said all born again people are meant to know. It shows how what thin soup we have got down here. Because when you get to Romans 6,
It talks about the kind of people we are. How does it work out? Shall we continue in sin? How does it work out? Not sins now. 2 Peter says we died to our sins in the blood. Romans 6 says we died to sin. Sin's a product of sin. Sin's a product of sin. And in Romans 6, shall we continue in expressing, not sins now. All right, shall we continue in sin, expressing this bad stuff, this self stuff? Shall we continue? And then Paul gives an answer. It's a very profound answer, and it's known to us here. It is getting more known in the Church of Christ. That's a big thing to say. In certain areas of the Church of Christ, it is anyhow. Which is a far deeper thing, is that this person on earth represented me. So what he was, I was. So if he died, I died. That's big stuff. That isn't the flesh. Flesh is spirit, of course. Yet when he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. That's deeper. And that does mean now something more. It's meant to us a Christ relationship. More than Christ's relationship, but Christ's union. Now, Christ's relationship, of course, is our salvation set forth on the cross. Propitiation through faith in his blood, God sets forth. And we come to the cross as apart from the cross, through the fall of the cross. Come to the cross and receive the benefits of the cross. So it remains in a relationship. Now, this isn't a relationship because I'm part of him now. When he died, I died. So I'm unified with this. Dying Christ. When he died as me, he died to this thing which had operated, which had been my bugbear, this sin stuff. Died to sin, it says. And when he died, the sin as a spirit, in him as us, died, went out as a dead body. And in the rose, it rose by a new spirit. So we've come in now to Christ. And in Christ, we see ourselves dead. In Christ, death, our death to this sin, whatever that means. And in Christ's resurrection, we are risen with Christ. So we've come to the in Christ situation or the Christ in me situation. But we haven't come to the me situation. That's the with spot. We've come to, I'm a Christ in me. Well, that's the Bible. Paul took it, the whole church knew that. The church doesn't know it today. He said, no, you're not, he wrote. Didn't say, find this out. He says, don't you, if you're looking at the Bible, 5:6:1 says, don't you know that when you die, when you're buried, it symbolized that you went into, buried, drowned with Christ and rose again? You know, that was a water symbol. Don't you know that, he says, because that's the symbol of the new birth, baptism. Of course, that's been vitiated by this ridiculous sprinkling water on a bunch of kids. I hope we deliver from that one anyhow. baptism is a real burial to us. We understand that, at least we're supposed to. And it's relating us now into Christ. It isn't Christ there dying. It's Christ co-dying. I died with Christ. I've risen with Christ. So Christ in me, I'm in Christ. And if Christ is in me, he's taken the place of sin. Dead to sin, Christ in me. I've died in Christ, I'm with Christ, risen with him, and so on. So our Christ emphasis has become fairly plain. Our self-emphasis has not come plain, and that's the weak spot. We get the Christ right, we don't get the me right. And the whole point of getting the me right, because in the end, all we are is a me. God is the big me. I'm the big me, isn't it? His name is I am, and we're products of the big me. If he's light, we're light, and so on. So in the end, all I have is the big me, and me in some relationship with him as the me. So unless I get my me right, I've not got any focus. And here we have it. We seem to have it. Oh, Christ in me. I've got Christ in me. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Satan in me, Christ, that's wonderful. Supposed to be Galatians 20, not I, Christ lives in me. It's wonderful, tremendous. The church is meant to know that. They're meant to know it from their new birth. And I say we don't, as a whole. And the other way around, that he rose, we're in the universal Christ. We're body to the head, and we're in with the head. We're in the head. the body in the head, or whichever we like, either he and me, or pretty, or me and him, but both sides, a wonderful, wonderful, a union. In other words, we've come from relationship to union. But the point is, who has been united to him? It's the me is the problem. I may say that, so it says in Romans 6, reckon yourself dead indeed to see the light of God. Reckon yourself in Christ. That's just Romans 6. Reckon yourself so and so. Now, reckon is a hesitating word. Reckon is somewhat mental. I reckon something. I reckon I'm in this house. Well, I may know I am in it too, but I reckon I'm, I start by saying I reckon I'm in a house. That's a little mental. I would go further and say, no, I'm in it, maybe, but I reckon. And that's all we're offered in Romans 6. Well, reckon this fact. Reckon on the fact that it is Christ in you. And reckon on the fact that you're part of the ascended Christ, seated Christ, and body and head and all that. Reckon on that. All right. But I don't live by reckoning, I live by knowing. As I say, I'm not in this house recognizing this house. I'm in the house now, so I know I'm in it. By coming here, I've moved from reckoning this as a house to being in it. Reckoning has become knowing. Reckoning has become realizing. Now, Romans 8, Romans 6 doesn't say realize. It says reckon. Why? Because of the me. Why? Because suddenly, in this same letter, same chapter, he suddenly says something else which bothers us. Oh, ye yourselves, he says, members of the other God. You're joined to Christ. Yield up your members. Yield is just recognize they're his members. You're members of the God, members of the Christ, and Christ has got all this, all this, all this. Then having just said that, in 6, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, love unto God, and yield your members. I quoted that's 6, 11 and 13. Then he says, something shakes them. Then he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Next verse, 14, for you're not under law, but under grace. You see how little heaven is, hardly anybody turns pages here. We're not Bible people enough. No one's turning our pages. And yet I find I learn by rereading. We don't do it. See, we're lacking something in our union life. Most of us probably have Bibles here. Hardly anyone's turned with me and said, that's what it says. We haven't got the habit. We need a little more Bible habit, which the Holy Spirit can turn into spirit habit. That the Bible operates through the Spirit. That's the whole danger today of operating without the Spirit, without the Bible. That's why I told you I was so glad when that sharp lady in England said, I liked it, you people in you Americans came over, because I found you Bible-oriented. I liked that. She caught that somehow. That you gave them the sense of what you said was what the Word of God said interpreted. That was right. So you see the mean? You're not to blame because we haven't produced that habit. Maybe we don't. Probably most of us have got Bibles here, but we haven't got the habit of what it says. We don't work that way. I must admit we don't work that way. Maybe we're not meant to. Yet well, it must be that basis. If it isn't that basis, we're in trouble. And all these years I've said, does the Bible say it? My answer is, does the Bible say it? And can I prove it's from the Bible? Then it isn't the Bible, I prove what I know, but I prove because it says it here. And that's my final answer. It isn't what I say, it says it here. So you can't shut up the critic, really, unless you move back from what I say I know, I know it because it says it here. So the two have to go together, don't they? So we do that among ourselves, but so we're not in front-line Bible people. We're more in the front-line spirit people. We'd better be sure it's on the basis of the Bible, that's all. That's all. So it says so here. So it suddenly says, you say, you know, reckon this, reckon that, you've seen that. In Christ's death, you died to sin. In Christ's life, Christ's your life now, and you're joined to Christ, and reckon that your members belong to him. Oh, you see, all it is. Then he suddenly says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace.